Welcome to the Days for Girls podcast, a show about breaking barriers for women and girls around the world. I'm your host, Jessica Williams, Chief Communications Officer at Days for Girls International. At Days for Girls, we believe in a world where periods are never a problem. We are on a mission to shatter the stigma and limitations associated with menstruation by increasing access to sustainable period products and menstrual health education for all people with periods. Today's guest is an Academy Award-winning producer for Best Documentary Short in 2019 for Period, End of Sentence. Melissa Burton is a Los Angeles-based teacher and writer. She is the founder and executive director of The PAD Project, a nonprofit organization dedicated to the principle that a period should end a sentence, not a girl's education. In recognition of her human rights work to promote menstrual equity, Burton received the 2019 Eleanor Roosevelt Global Women's Rights Award. I love this conversation, especially since the PAD Project has been a supporter of Days for Girls. So I'm so excited to share this with you. Now let's go on to the show. Melissa, welcome to the Days for Girls podcast. It is so fantastic to have you here today.
Thank you. It's wonderful to be here. I feel like it's full circle in a way because my knowledge of what we now call period poverty actually began with my knowledge of the work that Days for Girls was doing. So it's really an honor to be with you.
Oh, that's so cool. I love it. Well, I actually knew about you before I knew about Days for Girls. So that's really,
that's yay. We're a circle within a circle.
I know, because I remember the moment when you won the Oscar and I was like, wait a minute, what? There's a documentary called Period, End of Sentence. That's amazing. So cool. And you guys were so excited when you got up on stage. And so I just, it was really cool to watch that. And that's really where I want to start as we dive into your work. Tell us that story. Like, you're an English teacher at a secondary school, and here you go winning an Academy Award for Best Documentary Short. And like, was this a big surprise for you? Were you like, tell me
what happened? Oh my goodness. It was a huge surprise. Of course, nothing I would have ever expected. If you had told me when I was a high school student that first of all, I'd be a high school English teacher, and that second of all, I'd win an Academy Award for a film about periods, I certainly could never have believed you in my wildest dreams. It began because I was part of an organization called Girls Learn International, which seeks to give girls equal access to boys around the world to education. And as part of that mission of Girls Learn International, I became the faculty advisor for a delegation of students to the Commission on the Status of Women at the United Nations in 2013. And it was there that we learned about what is now known, but didn't have a term then, or a term that anyone was at least saying out loud, a term called period poverty, which includes the lack of access to knowledge about your own reproductive system, to lack of products, to lack of sanitary facilities with which to manage your period. So we learned about this issue, five high school students and I, and this is a story I tell in the foreword to the book, Period, End of Sentence, which was inspired by the movie. And we learned about this issue, and we were ashamed by our own ignorance and sort of blown away that something as simple as a period could make a girl miss school, have a girl drop out of school. And we thought we need to somehow raise awareness about this issue. And then at the same conference, we learned about an inventor named Morgan Anthem, who had made a pad manufacturing machine that could employ women locally and use locally sourced materials to make sanitary pads. And we, through Girls Learn International again, we learned of an organization called Action India that was interested in getting one of these machines for their community. So our goal was twofold. One, to raise funds to get a machine to our partner community in Katikera, a rural village outside of Delhi, and to document the process on film. So that was a big chunk of story, but that's how it started.
Okay, so I'm going to help you unpack that a little bit because there's a lot there, right?
Sorry,
so,
I know.
No, you're fine. You're fine. That's my job as the interviewer. So you're an English teacher and you're teaching and in you're in secondary school. So does that mean like high school? Is that what that means?
That does mean high school. So I teach 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th grade, all the grades of high school actually over the years in English.
Okay, cool. And so the women that you're interacting with, young girls that you're interacting with at your at school, they're all of that age where they're, you know, adolescent age. And I'm interested in like their experience a little bit of learning about what we now call period poverty. Was this like, what was their reaction to this work?
They were so upset. You know, I think there's something about when you're at the age where you're the onset of menstruation is happening. You are getting your period for the first time. You're sort of, you know, initiated into this group of women, whatever that means, though we know that some people get their periods as early as, you know, 9 years old, even 8 years old. But still, for most people, it's middle school or high school. And you don't want to hear or feel like somebody your own age is being denied her education because of something that is natural, something that is powerful, and certainly something that she has no control over. So I think for my students, there was a sense of injustice and a sense of wanting to join together to raise awareness about this. I think that in high school, students are at an age where they're figuring out who they are intellectually. What might they want to be? Do they want to go to college? If so, what field do they want to pursue? And the whole world is sort of open to you in an exciting way in terms of how you want to explore your ambition. And so to feel that you're going to be held back because of your period is something that just felt unacceptable to all of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can imagine that. And had you ever done any like documentary filmmaking or anything before?
No. The thing that I love about being an English teacher is that literature and stories, like stories told in film, resonate with people over time. And that's how we develop empathy. And that's how we learn. And that's the best part about being a teacher. And most teachers will tell you that they are lifetime learners, and that whether what you teach and learn about is literature or math or biology or science, it's all an ongoing process, and your students will open your eyes to blind spots that you may have had. And so while I knew the power of storytelling, and I'm an English teacher, and I do had taught some screen writing, documentary filmmaking is certainly something I had never done or thought to do, but I knew, and my students knew, and perhaps this is something to do with our location in, you know, near Hollywood, the school where we teach is in North Hollywood. We knew the power of film, and we felt like not enough people knew about this issue. And film was the best way we could all think of to tell this story of discrimination against women on account of their menstrual cycles. How could we tell people this story? And we thought maybe we could create a small educational film that would live on the platform for Girls Learn International and help tell the story. We had no idea, you know, that this film, sort of like the little engine that could, would just grow and gather followers and strength. But once we hit the film festival circuit, we began to see what the reaction was and is, continues to be.
Yeah, it's amazing. Okay, so for those people who haven't seen the film, can you give us like an overview of what happens in the film?
Certainly. So the film Period End of Sentence is a 26-minute documentary set in the rural village of Katikera in northern India, and a pad manufacturing machine comes to the village, and women band together to create a pad manufacturing enterprise. And in so doing, the stigma around menstruation in their village decreases. By the end of the film, men engage in making pads on the machine. Women develop agency. For me and for many people who see the film, one of the most touching moments is when a young woman says that because of the wages she earned from the pad machine, she could buy her brother a suit. She says, usually it's the brother that buys the gift for the sister, but because I was making some money today, I could buy my brother a gift.
So when it was released, you know, I remember watching the Oscars that year and I had never heard of it. And it was like, wait a minute, what? So you were traveling around showing it at film festivals. Is that how people were able to see it?
Yes. So the our director, Rika Zitab, she was able to submit the film to many different film festivals. And for those interested in how this process works, if your film wins what's called a jury award, a jury award, there's also another award, which I'll talk about in a minute, it's then put in a pool with a number of other films who have won a jury award, and that qualifies you to be considered to be shortlisted for an Oscar nomination. We were so honored to receive the jury awards, but what was more touching, I think, was that as we began on the film festival circuit, we won what's called the Audience Award. And that means that for the people who went to the film festivals, this was the documentary that touched them or moved them most for whatever reason. And I think that's how we began to know the film really struck a chord, which makes sense, right? Because so many people menstruate or will menstruate or have menstruated in their lives. And so it makes sense that a film about this issue should move and enrage or inspire so many.
Mm-hmm. So you're at the Oscars and it's 2019, you're sitting in the crowd and you're listening, you're like, you're waiting. Tell me like what happens next. Like walk me through that whole experience.
I was an absolute nervous wreck. We had the opportunity to have with us the, for those who have seen the film listening, Sneha, the aspiring police officer who is, you know, the quote unquote star of the film, and Suman, in whose house the pad machine lived. And also Gauri Chowdhury, the head of Action India, the nonprofit organization with whom we partnered, all traveled from Delhi to be able to be with us at the Oscar ceremony. So that in and of itself was heady and exciting. Then all of the students who you mentioned at first who were able to run up to the stage with me, our director, we were completely nervous. And just so you know, the you know, you hear, oh, I knew you were going to win because you could see that you were sitting in the rows right near the podium. And what they do, little insider secret, is that we were not sitting close at all. We were like far, far back. And the Dolby Theater has balconies. But before each different category is called to receive the award, they move all nominees. So that's why it looks like, oh, you must have known, you know, but we didn't know at all. So it was a great surprise. It was wonderful.
Oh, well, I remember how excited you were. So, okay, let's pivot and talk about the PAD project. So you actually founded the PAD project prior to producing the documentary, right?
Exactly. Yes, that's correct. So all along, it was a sort of twofold plan. We created the PAD project to house, we wanted people who were donating funds for the machine and for the making of the film to be able to receive a tax deduction. In order to do that, we needed to establish a nonprofit. And we wanted our hope, which I'm so proud and excited to say, we exceeded our wildest dreams. But our hope was that, well, you know, maybe we could create this little film, we could establish this nonprofit, and maybe we'd collect enough funds to be able to, you know, send another machine to another village. And we were on two tracks: one, the creation of the nonprofit organization, the PAD project, and two, the creation of the documentary film. And what actually happened in a beautiful way, with lots of mistakes and drama, of course, along the way, but what happened was that thanks to that Oscar moment on stage, we received so many emails, literally thousands. I tell people, when I talk to people, that I had to get the schools, my high school's like IT tech guy, on an emergency call with me, because it was like being pelted by, you know, stones, great stones, but one email after another, literally thousands. I couldn't open an email before another one would come in. All of them telling about what getting their period was like in their community, why they wanted a pad machine, why they had to stuff their underwear with socks, what they were doing in their community to raise awareness, and donations, and small donations, but so many. So $5, $10 from almost every country in the world. And that was enough to really seed the PAD project, S-E-E-D, you know, plant the seed and give enough of a financial backing to the PAD project that we could really become a nonprofit working like Days for Girls in the menstrual equity field. And now we're really proud that we have 9 PAD machine partnerships in 4 different countries. Next year, we'll have 13 PAD machines in 9 different countries. So it's really just growing.
Well, it's amazing. And we're so appreciative of your support of Days for Girls and the work that you've done to help us serve so many women around the world, you know, a lot of countries in the global South. So thank you for that. I'm going to kind of take a step back and ask a question about your personal life. So love to learn more about your upbringing and what led you to become passionate for women's rights and equality.
Well, I grew up with 3 sisters. So having 4 women in the house, 5, including my mother, definitely after a certain point, one of us was having her period at any given time. So we definitely were pretty upfront, pretty humorous, ready to talk about it. My dad, you know, went along with things. So I had the great good fortune to be in a kind of women positive, girl positive, period positive household. That said, you know, we still had code words for it. We were secretive about it. You know, just different things generationally. I will say that when my own daughter wanted to talk about the work of the PAD project at an assembly at our school, I discouraged her because I just immediately flashed on if I had ever talked about my period or period poverty at my high school, that would have been, you know, social suicide for sure. I couldn't have lived that moment down, and I wanted to protect her, but she, like most teenagers, she ignored me. She went ahead and she did it. And the students were really receptive and positive, which to me signals a sort of sea change in attitudes toward menstruation, which is really great to see. I think people ask me, oh, you know, were you such a feminist? And I suppose really thinking back that I was and that I am. But it's not, like I said, as we started this podcast, it's this path of creating a nonprofit for menstrual equity and getting an Oscar for a documentary about a film set in India was certainly nothing I would have ever foreseen. Maybe being an English teacher was something I could have foreseen, but not all of this. So I'm really delighted, and it shows how life can certainly take interesting turns.
It does. I love that about your story and how kind of diversified you are, where you're like a multi-passionate person, you know, doing a lot of different stuff. So I love that. And also this sense of kind of, I'm sure you were afraid at times and nervous, but this sense of fearlessness with which you approach this work. Like I have a friend, she's an English teacher like yourself at a high school here in Portland, Oregon, where I live. And she created a documentary with her students about their school. You know, but the fact that you like went out and got this on the radar of the Oscars, I mean, it's just so cool, the hard work you put into that. I know I'm going to ask this because I know a lot of people are like, how did you get on their radar? Like, how do you get the attention of the Academy Awards when it comes to documentary filmmaking like this?
Well, there's an Indian word, kismet, which means luck, fortune, the exact right moment for things to happen. And as inspirational as our story is, I also know how kind of frustrating it can be, because like your friend, who I'm sure has an inspirational, wonderful film that she made with her students, it's not like you can snap your fingers and make everything happen. We were fortunate there's that old cliche about luck happens when hard work meets opportunity or whatever. I'm kind of botching it. So we definitely had put in the work and the time, and from this idea to make a film to that moment on the Oscar stage was 6 years. So there was a lot of crazy and wild and unpredictable, challenging steps along the way. At the same time, we had the kismet, the good fortune to come in contact with people who could help provide us that access. So an example of that is Guneet Manga, who heads Sikia Entertainment, which is a production company in India. She's a wonderful filmmaker who made the film The Lunchbox, among other films. And one of our students happened to know her, was involved in the PAD project, and we were talking about, okay, we raised this money, but how are we going to shoot a film in India? We don't have camera equipment. We don't have a production company in India. We don't know what we're doing. And she said, Guneet Manga is in town. She's got another film that she's promoting here. She lives in Mumbai, but she's going to come talk to us. And Guneet Manga is a big activist and women's rights activist herself, and sort of almost immediately said, I'm going to help you. I'm going to lend, you know, my production company to help you make this film. That's one example of one of the instances of kismet, without which we could not, you know, have have made the film, have come this far. And there are other instances like that when maybe just the right person at just the right time sort of showed up and it just kept going. And I can tell you other stories where all was going to be lost in just a moment, but things got repaired or saved, and we're so lucky. I guess behind all of that, I would say that we stuck to our mission. A period should end a sentence, not a girl's education. That was kind of how we got into it. And young people, high school students, mobilizing adults around them is really how we kept the energy and the momentum going. There's not much denying a 14 or 15 year old when she says, shouldn't somebody my age be entitled to live out her full life? Shouldn't she be entitled to an education? And many adults really understood that. And so that's how we managed to keep going.
So can you tell me a little bit about the young women that were involved with the documentary? Have any of them gone on to do any work related to this?
Absolutely. I'm so proud of all of them. Proud mama. They are now staff, interns, depending on what their age is, many of them. So the women, the age range of people who are currently in the PAD Project to those who have now graduated graduate school range from 12 to about 26. And the ones on the older end of that spectrum are do our marketing, do our beautiful Instagrams for the PAD Project, do our social outreach, help with development. So all of them are involved in profound and meaningful ways. And they are the founders board for the PAD Project.
So cool.
It's so gratifying. Absolutely.
Before I let you go, where can people, I know you've got a lot going on, so there might be multiple websites and social media handles, but give them to us so we can, people can follow you and stay in touch with your work.
Thanks so much. So www.thepadproject.org is the website for the PAD Project. You can find my website under my name, Melissa Burton, B-E-R-T-O-N. And those are two great places to go. Look out for us on Facebook, on Instagram, on Twitter. And I'm so thrilled. And I just want to say before I go that those 7 years ago that we were talking about, when I was learning about period poverty, Days for Girls was the first organization that I heard of through Girls Learn International that was doing work for period equity with all of, so to me, Days for Girls is a leading light. You were the first organization that really pioneered the way for others in this field. And without Days for Girls, I don't know if, you know, so many other organizations that are now thriving could have taken strength and existed. So I just wanted to give that shout out to Days for Girls.
Oh, thank you. Well, we so appreciate the PAD Project and your partnership and support. And I hope all of our listeners will go and visit the work that you're doing, look at that, and also watch the documentary if they haven't seen it. So thank you, Melissa, for coming on the show. It's been a real pleasure.
Thanks, Jessica. It's been great.
The Days for Girls podcast is produced by Days for Girls International. For show notes and resources mentioned in this episode, visit daysforgirls.org/podcast. If you'd like to support the work we do on the show, leave a rating or a review wherever you listen, subscribe to the show, and share episodes on social media or with your friends. To learn more about Days for Girls and to join our global movement, please visit daysforgirls.org. Thank you for listening. See you next time.